I have made no secrets of the fact that I love Tina Packer very, very much. She is one of my favorite guests. Shakespeare & Company was founded in 1978 by Tina. She's the founding artistic director of Shakespeare & Company in Lenox, Massachusetts. She has directed most of Shakespeare's plays, some of them several times, acted in seven of them, and taught the whole canon in various guises at 30 colleges, among them Harvard, MIT, and Columbia. She was an associate artist with the Royal Shakespeare Company in England, working at regional theaters throughout the country, as well as in television for the BBC and ITV, including David Copperfield with Ian McKellen. She is, as I mentioned, one of our favorite Brits, and we wanted to have her share her thoughts on this historic day. Tina Packer, a delight to have you before our microphones. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Joe. Thank you. And I love you, too.
Well, and right back to you. I will say, you know, when we thought of, when we started talking about this morning, of how we were going to discuss what happened in this momentous moment in history, you were one of the first people that came to our mind of wondering what you thought of this. Being born in England, here in this country for so many years, obviously with very, very close ties still to the UK, of what you make of this?
Well, I have to say I have a heavy heart, Joe. It feels to me as if it's a step back, not a step forward. You know, I was born in the First World War, not that old, in the Second World War. And so the hatred that was in England and all the European countries at that particular time, you know, 45, 46, which was when this idea was conceived, that we wouldn't fight each other anymore, seemed to be an excellent idea, as we'd spent hundreds and hundreds of years fighting each other, and a real step forward. And it has always felt to me like it's a step forward. However, I kind of understand the no vote, let's leave vote, because there's a couple of things that happen. One is the unending bureaucracy that people have to sign the forms and fill in their quotas and do this and do that. I understand that that is a real pain in the ass. And so on one level, there's the kind of bureaucracy of being part of the union. On the other hand, you think, well, if you're not part of the union, you know, are you going to live in an isolated world? And maybe because I left and came to America, I don't feel any less British, really. But I'm very used to living with people who I was not born with. So I kind of feel it's opened my mind and heart and made me want to embrace more people, not less people. And I think the other thing is that I do understand that, you know, during the 60s, there were the huge waves of immigration from the Commonwealth countries. But, of course, in more recent years, it's been as each of the Eastern European countries have come in. And there's always been, my God, what are all those Poles doing, taking our jobs? My God, what are all those Romanians doing, stealing our brass? That's a small thing, but it was one of the things that happened when I got home, that there'd been some Romanian gangs that were stealing the brass from the railways, mm-hmm. the railway lines, and things like that. So you would hear these kind of waves of racism or not wanting any more foreigners in. And I'm sure that the waves of immigration that are happening now, I mean, the movements of people, I'm sure that most people in their hearts can feel deep sympathy for the people who are on the move. There's also this fear factor that comes in all the time. So, I kind of understand it, but I am sorry about it.
And of course, you can. It seems inevitable for all of us, but especially for you, of living here in this country and watching what's happening in your home country, but also seeing what's happening here and saying, okay, well, how will this unfold, and what impact will this have on our upcoming election?
I think it does. And I mean, one of the trajectories that happen or seems to happen to me, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but when you you know, there's two things. There's this whole thing of feeling helpless sometimes in the face of world trade that is so out of control that you have no idea where it's going to. And I'm not saying that this is necessarily true, but you have this feeling that there's somebody making millions, if not billions, of dollars out of world trade, and other people are being left absolutely helpless and having nowhere to go. I don't know how reasonable that is, but that is one of the things that starts happening to you, and to me. Let me make it personal. But I feel it in Britain has always looked outward, always. And yes, in the days of the empire, it was looking outward to exploit other people and their natural resources. But then it also was a kind of, oh, yes, well, we'd better bring education and the legal system and all these other things with us. And so then it wasn't just about exploitation. It was about spreading of ideas. And I think that in some ways was a very healthy thing, because we're a world culture now. I mean, we have to learn how to live with everybody. And I don't think that there's any closing of the doors. And I would much rather have them gone back to the European Union and say, can we renegotiate this and this and this, rather than saying, we're off, we're out. You know, it just feels not a forward-looking idea at all, even though I understand it.
You, of course, are one of the great Shakespeare experts in the world. You have written many books on this subject, including Women of Will, the most recent. You are currently getting ready to direct The Merchant of Venice at Shakespeare and Company, which opens on July 1st and runs through the end.
Actually, I'm in the middle of it. I'm in the middle of it, Joe.
Right now. You're getting ready.
Yes, right now.
So,
yeah.
Well, so here's my question, and I try to avoid these as much as possible, but here's the most talk show question I could possibly ask you. Because you know this so well, what would Shakespeare make of this, in giving that he had written so much about the country, about the history, and about the great turbulence? What would he make of this?
And, well, Merchant of Venice is a play about this very situation. In other words, he set it in Venice, where every country in the world was living in Venice, because it was the great trading nation. And of course, there was a big Jewish population in Venice, because they were the money lenders, because of course they weren't allowed to do a whole load of other things because of anti-Semitism, but they were the money lenders and therefore were essential to Venetian trade. And so this play in Shakespeare's imagination is about what happens when one of the money lenders, who is essential to the trade of Venice, steps out of line and says, no, I'm not going to take money interest. I'm going to take a pound of your flesh, because you have demeaned me too much. You've denigrated me too much. So if you can't pay your debts, give me a pound of flesh. There really couldn't be anything more symbolic in that. And somehow they need to try and stop him, because the person they're taking a pound of flesh from is a very important, prominent merchant, you know, with hundreds of ships out on the ocean. And so this desire of Venice to stop him and yet not break their own laws, because it's a legal contract that they made, is the dilemma of the play. And, of course, we've expanded it even more. We're not pulling back from that at all. But because we are who we are now as Americans, but we've got Canadians, we've got Israelis, we've got five different ethnic groups working actors in the play, that we've been putting our own stories in there as well. So we're layering even more of the conflicts in. And Shakespeare, since the 400 years since Shakespeare wrote this, and it's an extraordinary journey, Joe, when you come up against your own prejudices, which you think you don't have, because you're a good liberal, you know, socialist. I mean, I've always come from a very, I'm you know, by birth, a Bernie Sanders person through and through. If I hadn't been educated by the public education system, including all my, you know, going to the Royal Academy and things, you know, I would not be here in America now. So, you know, politically, I've always been there. So I think of myself as good liberal. And you keep on coming smack up against your own prejudices about how you think people think, what you think their motives are, and especially where money is concerned, are they trying to exploit me? Why is it that I don't get enough? And all those kind of things. So we've been working through this in the Merchant of Venice rehearsals. And it's really tough. It's really tough. And we've based it on the fact that Shakespeare includes, which isn't usually emphasized very much, it's a slave culture, Venice. You know, like most democracies, it's built on the back of slavery. And Shakespeare says that. You have amongst you many a purchased slave. You know, I say to you, let them be free. Let them marry your daughters and your sons. You know, and you reply, I won't, because they're ours. I bought them and they're ours. And I say to you, this pound of flesh is mine. I bought it and it's mine. I'm paraphrasing slightly, but that's what he says. And so we've been layering in all that. Now we've got 5 African Americans in the cast, plus 1 Indian, plus 2 Israelis, plus, you know, so on it goes. And we've really been trying to work this through in ourselves as we go into this production. And so I feel as if I've been living in a maelstrom of anti-Semitism, and we haven't even touched the sexism in the play yet.
Ah, well, there'll be plenty of time for that, won't there? I just want to give a quick plug as we wrap up here, because you're going to be doing a fascinating program on July 19th at 5 o'clock. You and Jonathan Epstein, who has been with you for a very, very long time, of course.
Yes, and is playing Shylock.
And yeah. Playing Shylock in Merchant of Venice. You are going to be having a discussion, Shakespeare and the Jews, with Shakespeare's view of prejudice, religion, and love, which is illuminated in The Merchant of Venice, and will be a moderated conversation and will be something that people can certainly take part in, as well as, of course, seeing The Merchant of Venice, which opens on July 1st. And people can find out more information at shakespeare.org. Tina Packer, I love you. Thank you so much for being with us, and I look forward to seeing you very soon.
Okay, thanks, Tina.
A great
Bye.
Pleasure. Thank you. Bye. We'll continue our coverage after this short break.